we went to visit a man. One of the reasons why we went to visit him was that we knew we'd get free coffee. Yeah. But it was also something that we were interested in seeing saved. And Mr. Webb had had a few conversations with him, and he was a little bit interested to find out where he was. But I always liked to go for free coffee, so we went along. And lo and behold, you know what happened when we got there? The man wasn't there. But his wife was there. And so we got the coffee anyway. And then we asked her about her husband. And you know what she told us? She told us that her husband was supposed to be there that day, but he wasn't because he wasn't feeling very well. And as she started to describe to us what had happened to her husband, why, it sounded to us like it might be possible that he might be having a heart attack or coming close to it. And I said to Brother Jim, well, what do we do now? Oh, he says, well, we'll go up and visit him. Well, just about the time when we were getting ready to go and visit him, lo and behold, his wife came back and she says, well, my husband's going to come in. So we waited. And he came in. And he sat down. And we started to talk about this difficulty he had. And then we said to him, well, what would have happened if it had been a heart attack? Well, we don't think it was a heart attack now. I said, what happened? He said, well, I'd have been gone. I said, yeah, that's right, but where would you have been gone? Well, he said, I'd have been in heaven. Huh, how would you say that? Well, he says, because I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Yeah. He was well enough to come and visit us. And it was well enough for us to speak to him. But he had already trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Why do I tell you that story? Well, because I like to tell people good news. Oh, yes, I do. But there's another reason why I tell you the story as well. Do you know that it's very, very possible for people to have heart attacks? Sure you know that. Do you know that there's people today, and when they started out, they felt they were quite sure that tonight they were going to be in their beds, and they're not going to be in their beds. Oh, they're going to be in bed, or their body's going to be in a bed. But they're already in eternity. But where are they? Where are they? Do you know there's only two places for people to go? One is heaven, and the other is hell. Do you know that there's only two ways a person can die? Oh, I know there's many means, there's many ways in the sense that a person could have a heart attack, they could die with cancer, they could die through a traffic accident, why, they could die by falling off a step. There's many ways that they could be shot, they could be knifed, there's many ways they could die, and yet really there's only two ways a person can die. Do you know what they are? In their sins. Or in Christ. So, you know, if I died tonight, if I had a heart attack, if I died right in front of you, you know what happened? I would die in Christ. You know why? Because one day in 1956, as a guilty sinner, I realized, I understood from the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary died for a guilty sinner like me. You know something? I was simple enough to take it in. And this is one of the verses that the man used. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that we deserve was laid upon him. And with his stripes, I was healed. And for the first time in my life, I recognized. For the first time in my life, I understood. For the first time in my life, I realized that what was happening on Calvary's cross was God's well-beloved Son was bearing the wrath and judgment of God that I deserved. He was being wounded for my transgressions. He was being bruised for my iniquities. The punishment that I deserved was laid upon him. And with his stripes, I was healed. Do you know what happened the moment I realized that? The moment I understood that? The moment I accepted the truth of the Word of God that as Christ died for sinners, then Christ died for me? That moment, you know what happened? I became a child of God. I became a possessor of everlasting life. I guaranteed myself a place in heaven. Do you know something else I did? Or something else that happened? I didn't realize it at the time. But you know what happened that moment when I understood that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary for me? I was made fit for the presence of God. And you know something? I'm not any fitter now than I was then. Because the precious blood of Christ cleansed me from all my sins and made me fit for the presence of God. Oh, I know a little bit more. Oh, that's true. I know a little bit more. Yes, but I wasn't any better fitted then, now, than I was then. How about you tonight? Are you still in your sins? Or are you in Christ? You see, I stepped through the door. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And you know how many steps it takes you to get inside the door? One. You know what I was doing? I was taking that step inside the door. You know what that step is? That step is accepting the truth of the Word of God that I'm the guilty sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary to save. I was stepping through the door believing that on Calvary's cross the Lord Jesus Christ was bearing the wrath and judgment of God that was my due. I stepped through the door by accepting the Lord Jesus as the one who suffered, bled and died for me. But I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 32. We better read here because I was going to tell you another story. Yeah, it's a good news story, of course. But I've got to tell you some bad news first. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. And the tables were written on both their sides, on the one side, and on the other side were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. I'm going to stop there just for a minute. I think you probably understand what I've just read. Do you know what I've just read? I read about the time when God gave to the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, as you and I generally call them. And he wrote with his finger on these two tablets, these two stones, and he gave them to Moses. He put them there and he gave it to him. It was the work of God. There it was. He gave Moses the Ten Commandments to take them down to the people. But you know what happened earlier on in chapter 21? In chapter 21, Moses, through God through Moses, told the people the Ten Commandments along with a whole lot of other instructions as well. And you know what happened in chapter 24? This is what the people said. In chapter 24 the people says, all these things we will do. We'll do everything that you've told us. We'll be obedient. Yes, we'll honor our father and our mother. Yes, we'll not make any graven image. And we'll love God with all our heart. That's the naturality. And naturality, that's what they were saying. We'll do all that. And so God says to Moses, okay, Moses, come on you up now and we'll put it into writing. And that's what he was doing. He was just putting it into writing. And God wrote on those tables or stones and he gave them to Moses exactly what he had already told them and exactly what the people said. Why, all those things we will do. And you know what happened? Before Moses, in fact, God had to say, Moses, you better hurry up and get down there. Do you know why? Because they had already broken the Ten Commandments. You see, while Moses was up there, you know what they said to Aaron? They said, you make us a god, because this man Moses, he's taking too long. Why, they saw Moses going up. And they expected Moses to come down just in a little while. But Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And they begin to think, well, this man's never going to come back. Then he says to him, okay, you make us a god. And so Aaron, he took all their gold and their silver, gold and their earrings and stuff, and he put them into the pot, and he made a golden calf. God saw all that was happening. He says, Moses, you better hurry and go down there. And Moses went down with the two tables of stone. All the people says, why? All these things we will do. Why do I read this? Do you know why I read this? It's by the commandments of God that you and I begin to realize that we are guilty sinners. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he was there? He took the Ten Commandments, as we call them, and he divided them into two. Of course, they were on two tables of stone. And so he divided them into two. And you know what he said one was? One represents the great commandment that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Have you done that? Has anybody done that? Do you know that there's not one solitary person in the whole of Canada has ever done that? Not one solitary person. The only person who ever did it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's not one single solitary person has loved the Lord with all their heart. That makes every one of us a sinner. And he takes the other five and he says, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there's not one single one of us have done that. One night in the gospel meeting, up in Maystone, why the siren went. Of course, we continued to preach the gospel, or whoever it was, I can't remember who was on the platform. But you know the siren went. And of course, we heard the cars going past, and they were all going east. Well, my house is east. East of the gospel hall. And there were some other people, and in their houses east of the gospel hall. Well, you know, they weren't listening too much to the gospel preaching then. No. And so what happened? Oh, everybody was out interested. Well, it was quite a relief when we found out it wasn't mine. Oh, yeah. And the neighbour, he was quite relieved when he found out it wasn't his house either. But it was some part of their farm. And there it was as well. Oh, but it was a relief. You know what we were doing? We were breaking that second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Why, I was glad it wasn't mine. I was glad it was somebody else's. Yeah. Have you ever done that? Oh, it's easy, isn't it? Did you know what I find out? I find that's about the easiest thing to do. Well, I'm sure glad it wasn't me. I'm sure, in other words, what I'm really saying is, I'm sure glad it was his. Is that loving my neighbour as myself? Now, are you the same as well? Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, do you know what a person really needs if they really want to get saved? The first thing they really need is they need to be honest. Do you know something? That day I got saved, although I had told lots of lies. Oh, yes. Multitudes of them. Yeah. Multitudes of lies before that. But that day when I got saved, do you know what happened? I spoke to a man, or a man spoke to me, and I answered truthfully. I told the man the truth. Oh, yes, I told lots of other men lies. But for this, for some reason or other, I told that man the truth that day. And because I told that man the truth that day, he was able to tell me more about the gospel. And because he was able to tell me more about the gospel, why, I was made to realize by the Holy Spirit that I was a guilty sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary to save. So what happened? I got saved. Oh, if you want to be saved tonight, you have to be honest. And one way to be honest is take your place as a guilty sinner. You know what that man said to me? He says, you're a sinner. Oh, I said, I know that. You don't have to tell me that. Do you know it? Do you know that there's only sinners going to be in heaven? Do you know that? Do you know that the Word of God gives me license to tell you this, that there's only one kind of people that get saved, and that's sinners? And that's the kind of people who are going to be in heaven. Sinners saved by the grace of God. And if you're not a sinner tonight, really, there's no salvation for you. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. The gospel message is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Are you a sinner tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that's the only kind of people he saves. And do you know something? When a person is willing to take their place as a guilty sinner, they're not far from the kingdom of God. Because when they wake up and realize, I'm a guilty sinner, what happens then? Well, what happens? What awaits for me as a guilty sinner? Do you know what awaits for you as a guilty sinner? Hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. Hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. Just by being a guilty sinner. And that's the way you were born. You know what some people say, and they're right. You know what they say? They say this, a God of love will never send anybody to hell. And do you know something? They're right. A God of love will never send anybody to hell. You know what he did? Because he's a God of love, he gave his well-beloved son to die on Calvary's cross to provide a way of salvation for guilty sinners. And he offers it to you tonight as a gift. Do you know what condemns men and women and young folk as well? They're presented with the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They're presented with him. And they realize that he's the way of salvation. He's the door. And they don't accept him. And they don't trust him. And they don't believe on him. That's what condemns them. That's what condemns them. Because the moment they trust them, the moment they receive them, the moment they step through the door, you know what happens? All their sins are cleansed in His precious blood. And that can't happen until they trust them, or until they believe them, or until they accept them. Can't happen. But the moment they do, it does happen. That's what condemns them. God in love and mercy, He gave His well-beloved Son to suffer, bleed and die at Calvary. Oh, but wait a minute. Look at verse 26. Mr. Boyle has been bringing before us the people of God, those who took sides with David. Look what Moses said in verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Who is on the Lord's side? Oh, we've been hearing about these mighty men of David, and they took sides with David. Have you taken sides with the Lord Jesus Christ yet? Because if you haven't, you're on the other side. You know, we've been hearing a lot about Peter, not very much. But you know, one day Peter, he was heating his hands at a fire. You know what, a little maid came up to him? The Bible says a maid came and says, "You're one of them." Peter says, "I'm not one of them." Well, you know, I like that expression, really, in a sense. You know what that maid didn't say? She didn't say this, "You're one of us." You know what she recognized? She recognized there was two sides. And she recognized that Peter was on the other side. Oh yes, she denied it, of course. Oh, but that didn't make any difference. He was still on the other side. Yeah. She said, "You're one of them." Oh, she said, "No, I'm not. I'm one of them." "Are you one of them?" "I'm one of them who've taken sides with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm one of them who's willing to identify myself with the man who died on Calvary's cross." You know why? Because I realize and I understand from the Word of God that He loved me. And He loved me enough to die on Calvary's cross. You know what the Bible says? "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Whose side are you on? Are you one of them who have received the Lord Jesus Christ? You know whose side she was on? She was on the other side. Do you know what was happening? I'll tell you what was happening. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ had already said to Peter, "Listen, Peter, Satan is after you. He desires to sift you as wheat. He's on your track, but I prayed for you, Peter." And do you know who Satan was using? Satan was using that little maid to trip up Peter. She was on the devil's side. She was being used by the devil. And you know something else? So are you. If you're still in your sins tonight, you know what's happening? You're being used by Satan to rob God of any glory that He might get out of you and out of your life. Do you know that there's not one solitary thing that you've done to please God if you have never trusted His Son as your Savior? There's not one sparkle of glory has been found in your life for the pleasure of God if you're still dead in trespasses and in sins. You know, when I was 9 years old, you know what happened one day? One day I came running home from school. And as I came running home from school, I came running right in. And I went running right into this room. Or I thought I was going to run right into that room. And do you know I couldn't get into that room? And yet I had gone into that room every day pretty well in my life. There was no reason up until then why I couldn't go into that room. But that day I couldn't go into that room. The door was closed. Now something had happened. A little while later, my brother and I, we were taken into the room. Well, we weren't allowed to go by ourselves. We were taken in. And do you know what was in that room? In that room there was a big casket. And in that casket there was a body. And we were allowed to look at the body. And we were even allowed to feel the body. Yeah. And you know, we were allowed to go in there two or three times the next day. And a couple of times the next day. Well, along came a group of big men. You know what they did? They went in right into that room. And they took up that box. And they carried that box and they took it out of the graveyard. Do you know why they did that? Because a home or a house wasn't a good place for a dead body. It could do absolutely no good. It might do a lot of harm. And that's the way God looks at you. Do you know what the Bible says about you? If you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Word of God says you're dead in trespasses and in sins. You've absolutely done nothing yet that has brought pleasure to God. Oh, but the moment I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, at that moment I was doing something that was well pleasing to God. Yeah. The moment I realized through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that on Calvary's cross He suffered, bled and died for a sinner like me, do you know what I was doing for the first time? I was glorifying God. Yeah. Oh, I've had opportunity to do more since. But up until that time I'd never done it. Neither have you. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. Whose side are you on? Do you know something? When the Lord Jesus Christ was brought forward, Pilate brought him forward, and he brought a man called Barabbas, and says to the people, which of the twain will I release unto you? They said, we want Barabbas. And Pilate was so amazed that they took a murderer. He said, well, what will I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They cried, crucify him. Whose side were they on? Well, they were against him, weren't they? Listen, there's only two sides. There's those who are for him because they've trusted him. They recognize and understand that he died on Calvary for them. And there's those who are against him. And if you're not for him tonight, you're against him. Whose side are you on? How about you, the young Sunday school girl? Whose side are you on? How about you, the young boy brought up in a Christian home by your father and mother? You're on the Lord's side, but whose side are you on? Oh, and maybe you're sitting here tonight beside your girlfriend, and she's on the Lord's side and you're not. You're still on the side that's crying, away with him, away with him, crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us. That was the thought of their hearts. Whose side are you on? Oh, I'm on the Lord's side. You know whose side I'm on? I'm on the side that has already won. The Lord Jesus Christ, he won the victory on Calvary's cross. Let's go further down. Look at verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Listen, every sin is great in the sight of God. One sin is sufficient to damn your soul for all eternity. Do you know something about my Savior? The man who wants to be your Savior tonight, God's well-beloved Son. Do you know something about it? I'll tell you about it. You know that my Savior one time found himself in a garden, and in that garden he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. His agony was so great. And you know what was making his agony so great? He was looking ahead to those three dark hours when God would turn his back upon his well-beloved Son, and he would be made to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was thinking of the horror of being shut out of the presence of God only for 3 hours. And as he thought about it, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Listen, friend, if you die in your sins, you'll be shut out of the presence of God forever. The agony of my Savior was so great, as he thought, for 3 hours. The horror of being shut out of the presence of God just for 3 hours. Listen, friend, you're going to be shut out of the presence of God for all eternity. And there's only one other place, that's hell and the lake of fire. Yeah. Every sin is great and you're a guilty sinner. Every single one of us has sinned against God, without exception. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, shut out of the presence of God for all eternity. Oh, here it is, every sin's a great sin. Let's read next verse. Verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Did you notice that? Here's Moses, he said, listen, oh, they sinned a great sin. He said, but if you can't forgive their sin, why blot me out of your book instead of them? That's what he was doing. He was willing to take their place, but you know something? He couldn't take their place. You know why? Because he was a guilty sinner himself. He was just as bad as it. Oh yes, it's true. He hadn't broken the commandments with it. Yeah, but he was a sinner. And if God was going to punish them for a sin, he would have to punish Moses as well. He was a guilty sinner. And he couldn't take another guilty sinner's place. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, he was willing to take the guilty sinner's place. You know why? He could not sin. He did not sin. And in him there was no sin. And so he was willing and able to take the guilty sinner's place. But Moses, he wasn't allowed. Because he was a sinner himself. He needed a Savior just like you need a Savior. And the only Savior provided is God's well-beloved Son. But look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Did you read it? Read it again. This isn't my imagination. This is the word of God. This is what God says to Moses in verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now listen. As you sit in your seat tonight, a guilty sinner, you have been blotted out of the book of God. When I arrived in Canada in 1956, I suppose I had my name on a number of books, and I suppose I had my name in Ottawa as well, as one of those who had immigrated from Britain. But you know something? When I arrived here, my name wasn't written in heaven. Do you know why? Because I didn't realize, I hadn't come to the realization or the understanding that I was a guilty sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary to save. No. Oh, my name might have been in lots of books, but it wasn't in this book because I was a guilty sinner. And listen, as you sit in your seat tonight, your name's not there either. Yeah, I know that. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still in your sins because that's what I was. And you and I, we were born the same. We were born with a nature that automatically makes us sin. You take youngsters, you don't have to teach them the bad things, do you? And you can work as hard as you like to teach them the good things and they might never learn them. But the bad things, you don't have to teach them. They learn it just like that. Automatic. Just like that. Yeah, just like that. They learn to tell lies. Nobody has to tell them how to tell lies. No, no. You just do it like that. We're born with a nature that automatically makes us sin. And yet God loves us. Yeah. God loves us. I've got to tell you another verse. This verse is found in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. This is what it says. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Did you read it? Hear that? You can read it if you like. It's in your Bible. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we've just read this verse that says, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And I'm suggesting to you tonight, if you've never trusted the Savior, then your name's not in that book. And Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, by the way, there's only two more chapters. Only two more chapters after that to the end of the book. There it is. And what does it say? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's where you're heading tonight. If you're sitting in your sins tonight in this gospel meeting, listen, your name's not in the book. And if your name's not in the book, you're heading straight for the lake of fire. You know what you read about in Luke chapter 10? This is what you read. The disciples, they went out two by two. You know what they were doing? They were able to perform wonderful miracles. They were able to heal the sick. They were able to make the dumb talk. And they were able to heal the lame, make them walk. They were able to do mighty miracles. And they came back and they were clapping themselves in the back and saying, oh boy, we did this and we did that. And what, even the demons did what we told them. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them? He said, listen, rejoice not. Rejoice not in this that you're able to do these mighty miracles. Why, they're a minor detail in a sense. He says, rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. How did he know their names were written in heaven? Oh, because he's the Son of God. And he knows whether your name is written in heaven or not. And your name won't be written in heaven till the moment you receive him as your Savior, recognizing that you're the guilty sinner that he died on Calvary to save. Why, that's what Nicodemus, he was told, you must be born again. That's what I was told. We had to be born into the family of God. And the moment we were born into the family of God, our name was written in the book of life. Why, as soon as a little baby is born, what happens? Why, you get the book out and the name goes into the book, doesn't it? I bet it doesn't go into the book until the baby's born. And then it goes into the book. Oh, when that moment I realized the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. You know what happened? My name was put in the book. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, listen, you rejoice not in that you're able to perform mighty miracles. He says, you rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do you know why? That guarantees your place there. That means that you'll never be in hell in the lake of fire. And my name was written in heaven the moment I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I thought, wait a minute. Another whosoever. John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell in the lake of fire, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There it is. Whosoever, I was a whosoever that Wednesday afternoon. You could be the whosoever tonight. Whosoever believeth in him, who's willing to take the Lord Jesus as a Savior, whosoever is willing to recognize, I'm a guilty sinner, I sinned against God, but on Calvary's cross, he suffered, bled, and died for me. You know what the good news of the gospel is? The good news of the gospel is Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. On Calvary's cross, he was being wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that we deserve was being laid upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.